Let's begin then by reminding ourselves of our theme. So turn to Romans and chapter 5. And you know that the theme is found in verses 3 and 4. So beginning then with a reminder, Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. Now not only, but we also rejoice in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. So as we've seen then, Paul takes us on a journey from tribulation to hope. And we have translated the word tribulation as the word stress. It's a word that means pressure. It's a word that can mean to be crushed or to be squeezed. So Paul is talking about how in life we know this squeeze, this pressure, day by day. And so what he does, he takes us from that experience of being crushed through several steps until we reach hope. And we saw last Sunday that key to our experience of stress is knowledge. So if you look at verse 3 again, Paul writes, there we glory or rejoice in tribulations, knowing. So key is knowledge. And you may remember last Sunday we said that the word for knowledge here means to know how something works. It's the knowledge that you might have about a machine or something that is mechanical, so that you know the parts and how they work, how they move, how they connect. So what Paul is telling us is that we know how God works through stress to produce, first of all, perseverance. Now, we'll be giving a definition of perseverance in the next few weeks. We know how God works to go from perseverance to character. And then finally, Paul is telling us we know from the inside how God works to go from character to hope. So what I want us to do today is build on our knowledge of how God works in our experience of stress. So both this morning and this evening, we'll be thinking together of what God has shown us in his word, how he works in our experience of stress to take us on a journey through several stages to hope. So let's begin by building on that knowledge by turning to 1 Corinthians and chapter 10, and our text is verse 13. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with this verse. You may also be familiar with the verse before it, verse 12. But let's read again verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear, and with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So let's read that verse again, because we are looking at the way God works in our experience of stress. So no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Now we're going to think about that. Then we read, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Well, that's the second thing that we'll be thinking about this morning. And then finally, we look at this phrase, but with each temptation, he will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, that's a fantastic phrase, and we'll finish the morning with an explanation of what it means when Paul writes there that he will provide, God will provide, the way of escape. So no temptation except that which is common to man. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear, but with each temptation will make the way of escape. Excuse me. So let's pray then, and let's ask God to speak to us through his word. Lord, we are thinking about stress, and it seems such a timely theme for us to take up, because, Lord, there are many in our congregation knowing such pressure. And, Lord, we here this morning may be under severe pressure, and some may know of it and share with us in it, but, Lord, others may have no idea of the pressure, the squeeze that we are living under day by day. And so, our God, it may be very timely then that we think about the way in which you work, so that in and through our experience of stress, you produce perseverance, and then character, and then finally hope. So, Lord, we may be very keen to learn, to build our knowledge today. Lord, others may think that we never experience stress. But Lord, it's also then about helping others through their experience of stress. So Lord, our God, we commend ourselves to you, and we ask you to bless us, to help us, to hear that, Lord, whatever distractions may be present, that they would be removed, that we may hear your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's begin then with a few of the words that we find here in verse 13. And the most important of them is the word temptation. Now, this word in the original language isn't the same as Romans 5 and verse 3. So the word itself isn't an exact match for what we are looking at, but the ideas and the principles are the same. This word in verse 13 can either mean a temptation to sin, or it can mean a testing time, a time in which you are being tested. Now, let's say which I think it means. From my point of view, I think this word refers to a testing. Now, that can include a temptation to sin. So you may have a particular struggle with a particular sin. But the word, I think, has this broad meaning of a test, being put under a test. Now, I'm sure all of us understand what tests are. Some of you have recently had exams in university. I know some are preparing for their A-level exams. We've all been there at one time or another. We have a test. So this word in verse 13 refers to a period in which you are being tested. Now, let me say one more thing about this. If you have a test, so let's imagine we are going to sit an exam. What do the examiners want? So go back to the days when you were in school, perhaps, or for some of you who've recently sat exams, what do you think those who set the exam want? So whether it's your university, whether it's some professional qualification that you've studied, what do the examiners want? And it may be that the examiners want you to fail. They are so concerned to keep their standards high that they want you to fail. They set the bar at such a high standard that they want people to fail. Or it may be that your teachers in school, or whoever it is, they want you to pass. So they're going to do everything they can to help you to pass. What do you think it is when it comes to God? When God, in his providence, brings us through a time of testing, what does God want? Does he want us to fail under the test so that our faith shrinks and our perseverance wavers and our joy diminishes? Is that what God wants when he leads us through a test? Or does God want that we pass? Now, I'm sure you can all decide for yourselves. God's wish when he tests his people is that we should pass. Now, just look back a few verses in chapter 10. And here's Paul writing to Gentiles about Israel and Israel's experience under Moses. So here's Paul talking about how Moses led the Israelites in the wilderness for all those years en route to Canaan. And what Paul tells us is that God was testing them. So those 38 years, and even the two before, I guess, were an experience of testing. And what did God want? He wanted them to pass the test, that they would come through the test with their faith bright and shiny, that they come through the test having persevered on their journey, that they should come through the test having honored God and stood on his promises and believed his word and come to Canaan in triumph. That's what God's wish was, that they should pass the test. But of course, what Paul then lays out for these Gentile readers is that the Israelites failed the test. And so we have that list, don't we, in these verses, running from verse 7 onwards, in which examples of how they failed are laid out for the readers in Corinth. So again and again and again, the Israelites failed the test that God had set them. And then Paul does this remarkable thing. He says, now look, all this was written for our admonition. It's for our good that we have the story of the Israelites. Now, that's an amazing thing to say, because he's writing to Gentiles in Corinth. And yet they share the common heritage of Paul and the Jewish Christians. All this is for our good, is what Paul tells us. So go back to verse 13. The word testing is there in the verse. It is God himself who wishes that his people, when tested, should pass. Now, if God wishes that we should pass a time of testing, what does that mean? Well, let's go back to the idea of sitting an exam. If your teacher wants you to pass, what will that teacher do? Will the teacher just say, right, I leave it to you. It's up to you. You've got to learn what you need. You've got to decide what to study. You have to then make up your own mind. You have to try and discover what the test is all about. And it's up to you to do your best. Now, I'm sure any teacher worthy of the name, if he or she wants their pupil to pass, doesn't leave it up to them. But what the teacher will do is give that pupil, that student, everything she needs in order to pass. So there'll be classes and there'll be resources and there'll be teaching, and there'll be time given so that the student can pass the test. And it's exactly the same with God. God wants us to pass, and so he will give us everything that we require in order to pass the testing that he brings our way. So turn to verse 13 again. The word means a test which God wishes you to pass. And what we then have here, right in the middle of the verse, and I think it should be at the start of the verse, is this wonderful description of God. Can you see it there in the verse? God is faithful. So this God who has brought us through a time of testing, this God's will is that we pass the test. He is faithful. He is faithful to his word. He is faithful to his promises. And above all else, you don't really see it there, I think, in the translation, but the idea is God is faithful to you. There's an individual emphasis in this verse that God is faithful to you as you experience the testing. God doesn't sit back like a teacher would and leave you in the exam to your own devices. It's not the case that, like a lecturer at university, you have all the classes to go to and then you're left on your own for the exam. It's not like that. The faithfulness of God means he wishes you to pass the test, and as you go through it, he is faithful to you. He remains there for you. His word, his promise, his grace will be made available to you by God as you pass through that testing. So he doesn't stand back and say, now look, remember that sermon you heard 2 years ago? Apply it now. Or he doesn't say to you, I'll stand back and say to you, right, now come on, what do you know? What have you learned? Come on, put it into practice. When we go through a time of testing, God is not standing back. He's in it with us. He is faithful to you. And so all that God is, and all that he has said, and all that he has promised, is there with us as we pass that time of testing, so that we pass the test that God has for us. So just to make this point a bit clearer, look at the beginning of chapter 10. And here's Moses now leading the people of Israel. And what the Apostle Paul repeats in the opening verses is one word. Can you see it? So just take a look, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4. There's this one word that's being struck like you would a bell. It's the word all. All of the people were led by Moses. They were all passing through the sea. They were all baptized. They all ate. They were all under the cloud. And then you have Moses saying the most amazing thing about Jesus Christ, that he is the rock, he is the cloud. So the idea is all of them, as they went through that experience of testing, they all experienced the presence of God. He was with them during their journey. And that's the idea of the faithfulness of God. As you go through the testing, God is with you, present with you, in the cloud, in the rock, through his Son, so that you then might be able to endure that time of testing coming out the other side. So do you see what we've said so far? We've described the word, and it's a word that means test with the aim to pass. Being tested with the goal that you will pass. And as you are tested, God is with you in his faithfulness to you. Well, let's move on then, shall we? And I want us to look at the first of what Paul tells us here in verse 13 about testing. And at the start of the verse, we have a description of the nature of testing. And we turn to verse 13 and you see it there. No temptation, so let's replace that with testing. No testing has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Now, if we say no more than this, we will have said a huge amount this morning. Because we started off by saying that we need knowledge. So the knowledge is already, hopefully, being built this morning. We know now that God will test us. We know that God wants us to pass. We know that God will be with us in his faithfulness, in the testing. We know these things now. So let me introduce one more idea. Whatever testing you are called to experience, it is such as is common to man. Now, it's a very interesting phrase that you've got here in verse 13. So if you take a look at the verse in front of you, can you see that the expression common to man? Now, that's one word in the original language, and it means man as man. So let's read it like that. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is for man as man. And that means two things. So it may be that we'll just stop with that this morning, having looked at these two things. First of all, it means when you're tested, it's important how you think about that testing. The testing that you and I go through is that which is common in human experience. The testings we experience belong to man as man. Now, what does that mean? Well, put yourself, if you're not already experiencing a time of testing, try and remember when you did. And what are the thoughts that you have when you go through a time of testing? And I'm sure many of you will have thoughts like this. Why me? What is it about me that explains this time of testing? Have I done something wrong? Is there something about me that explains this time of testing? So we start to think about ourselves, and we start to say that we are the reason for the testing. We might have said something, done something, not done something. We may not have prayed enough, believed enough. And we are looking for something in us to try and explain the testing. Why me? Now, if ever you've thought like that, if you're thinking like that right now, then what you need to know is that your testing, it's not because you have done something exceptional. The testings are that which is common to man. So we need to try and challenge this thought we have. Why me? And sometimes we can feel, can't we, that we are being targeted, or that we are being singled out, or that for some reason we are having more than everyone else. That somebody else wouldn't have had it, but we are. So what's the matter with me? And why me? Now remember now that whatever you're going through, it is that which is common to man. So you must not think that this is something because of you, that somehow God is in some way targeting you. Do you remember Job? It's what he felt. He felt that God had set him up as a target for God to shoot his arrows at. So Job felt, didn't he, that he was being unfairly treated and that God was sending his way one thing after another thing after another thing. So it's about how we think. It's not about you in that sense. It's that which is common to man. Now, the second thing that this phrase means is that whatever else you may say about your testing, someone else will have gone through it. No one is ever in an experience that no one else has had. And that's the other thing that we think, don't we? We think that there's no one else who knows, no one else who's been, no one else who's felt, no one else who's experienced what we are going through. And we have that sense in which we are uniquely having a tough time, that more than anyone else, we are having a tough time, that greater than anyone else, we are going through a time that is a testing time. So do you see these two things? We can think, why me? And so we are thinking about ourselves as the reason for the testing. Have I done something? Am I being targeted? Am I being singled out? Have I done something wrong? So we think about the testing and we are thinking about me as the reason for it. Have I gone wrong in the past? What mistakes have I made before? And so we search around for some sort of reason to explain the testing by looking at ourselves and looking inward to try and come up with a reason. And then the second thing that we do is this. We have a sense of uniqueness. No one else knows what it's like. No one else knows how we feel. And that phrase that I really hate, have you heard it? Where somebody's going through a test in time and they say, oh, you can't understand unless you've been through it. Now, that's just wrong. No one goes through something that no one else has never known. There is not a uniqueness to any of us. But we tend to think that, don't we? Because that's part of our response to stress. So let's break these two ideas down a bit further. So verse 13, come back to this phrase now, such as is common to man. I told you it's one word. And it's the word that means belonging to man as man. That which is true of man because he's man. And I think the most obvious thing to say is, Christians, we are men and women. We are no different to other men and women. We have no promise from God to be spared that which is the experience of other men and women. We talked about faith and a faithful God. God has never said, excuse me, he has never said that he will spare us that which belongs to the experience of human beings. Now, there will be some who will tell you that God has promised that to his people. And it may be that you and I would wish with all our hearts that because we're Christians, God will spare us some of the things that belong to people as people. Well, there's no such promise. We share in human experience. What belongs to others is true of us. We live life as everyone else does. So all that is human experience is that which Christians share in. We have no exemptions. We have no get-out-of-jail-free cards. Life as life is that which we all experience. And so this word means that which belongs to human experience. We share it, and we know it, and we are not spared it just because we're Christians. But let me add another note here, and it's a wonderful one. Because this idea in verse 13 of that which is common to man also applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he came in order to experience life that is common to all men. So the Son of God, taking our nature and living among us, didn't have special privilege. He wasn't given exemptions. Because he's the Son of God made flesh, he didn't have a first class pass to get through life. He wasn't put at the front of the queue. No exceptions were made for him. He came and he experienced life as life, lived by all men. So in every point, he was tested like we. In every circumstance, in every way you can imagine, he shared in our experience of what it means to be a human being. So the Son of God himself has tasted human experience in all its variety. He has known it, he was tested by it, and he endured it. So you may feel, we all may wish, that we were exempt from certain things. But as we think about that, let's remember the Son of God. He came, and in every way, he was tested. Now, you are not, are you? Whatever you're going through this morning, you are not tested in every way. You're tested in some ways, and you're under severe pressure in some areas of your life, and some awful things are happening to us. But none of us can say that in every way humanly imaginable, we are being tested. We can't say that, but he could, because that's what he experienced when he came and when he lived among us. In every way, he was tested. So the word means belonging to man as man. And you and I will share in every human experience. We are not exempt. And then, let's look at the second part. It's that which is common to man, so it's nothing unique, it belongs to us all. Look at these opening verses again. And I've already drawn your attention to the word all. And that's what Paul is building on. These Israelites, they were all in the wilderness, they were all eating the manna, they were all being given water out of the rock, they all shared in this same experience. And then he says, doesn't he, quite devastatingly, but some of them. So they all had the same experience, but some of them went under. Now can you see what this phrase means? All of us go through testing. We must not think that it's more difficult for me than it is for someone else. If we start to think that it's more difficult for us than for someone else, then what Paul is saying is you've forgotten these two things. You have forgotten that it's not about you being singled out. It's not about you being targeted. It's not about you having God say, right, let's give Neil a more difficult time than someone else. What you go through is that which is common to us all. And being common to us all, we all share in it. We've all experienced it. There is nothing that we must say is beyond the ordinary human experience that we are having. And in it all, we have Christ, who has shared it, been tested himself in every way, just like us. Now, time has gone, and I don't want to rush over the next two things in verse 13. So let's keep them back for next week. So next week, let's take the phrase there in the middle of verse 13. God will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able to be. So we'll keep that idea and we'll take it forward to next Sunday. And then the Sunday after, let's do this wonderful phrase at the end of the verse. But with each or every testing, God will also make the way of escape. Now, I'd encourage you to think about that phrase, because just like the earlier phrase, common to man, it's one word. It's just one word, a way of escape. And some of you may think, right, this is back to the Israelites and how they were brought to the Red Sea and there was no way of escape. Is that what this word means? So let me encourage you to think about it, and we'll take it up in a few weeks' time. So I will end with this summary then. This word means a time or a period of being tested. And God wants us to pass. That's his aim and purpose. What does it mean to pass? Well, we'll look at that again. He wants us to pass, and he's with us in it. So the first thing we've said today is this. As we go through a time of testing, we need to understand this phrase, that which is common to man. So I don't say I'm an exception, that it's something to do with me, that I'm being singled out or I'm being targeted. We don't start the why me. We mustn't think like that, because you are no different to all the other men and women who live in our world. We have no exemptions, no exceptions. And as we think about this then, a testing, God will test us in ways that are common to all men and women. And his son is the one who has shared in every single testing that human beings experience. So he is the one that we look to. He is the one that we strengthened by, supported by, comforted by as we pass through these times of testing.